had a slight change in the published amount. I hope I've got it right. So we're looking, the reading today is Matthew chapter 6, starting to read at verse 19, and that is on page 971 of the Pew Bibles, if you care to follow it. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Do keep that open in front of you. As we begin, I will pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would be with us this morning as we come to your word. We do pray that you would speak to us through it. And where we need to change because of it, Father, we pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to respond well to your voice. Amen. Well, it can be frustrating when you get a message that isn't meant for you. For example, we constantly get mail from the people who used to live at our house. And as much as we write not at this address and send it back, yet it still comes. As well as frustrating, it can be awkward when you get a message that isn't intended for you. I have a twin brother, and a few years ago he received a letter asking him to go to hospital for an appointment to try and find out what was wrong with his stomach. He thought this was strange. He had been to doctors recently, but nothing to do with his stomach. But he thought to himself, well, I better go and find out. Well, thankfully, the penny dropped before he actually went, and realised that the letter wasn't, in fact, for him. Somehow they sent it to the wrong brother. It was meant for me. I think it's because we have a similar NHS number or something like that. Well, it can be awkward when you get a message that isn't for you. Why am I telling you these things? Well, it's because I want to be very clear that sometimes different people need to hear different messages. This morning we're going to be thinking about money and giving to church. I want to be crystal clear that if you're a visitor here this morning, this message is not primarily for you. Of course, listening, there are things I want you to hear. And of course, if you want to make a donation, it will obviously be gratefully received. But please don't think we're asking for your money. We're not. And even those of us who are part of the church family here, we need to hear different messages as well. Some of us might be already given all that we can afford. Some of us might not be given at all. Some of us might be able to give more. We're all in different positions. And so the message we need to hear is different. However, when it comes to giving, there are some core principles, and they're the same for everyone. So that's where we're going to begin this morning. And so my first point, invest in heaven. Invest in heaven. The question of where we invest is an important one. Some people invest their money in stocks and shares, hoping that the price will go up and they'll make a profit. Other people might invest in a career or a business. They put in all their time and energy and money in an attempt to make it a success and hopefully earn a large salary. Some people might invest in property, looking forward to the day when they can live rent-free. Of course, it doesn't hurt if it goes up in value as well. Others might invest in their children. perhaps in their education, in the hope that they will one day become successful. Where should we invest our time, our energy, and our money? Well, Jesus is pretty clear, and we see it in this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Let me read it out for you again. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus says that we should not store our treasure on earth. We should not invest everything in worldly things. That's quite a radical thing to say, because it's what we do naturally. We all want to build up our own little empires, however big or small they are. But Jesus goes on, because he tells us why we shouldn't store up our treasure on earth. And it's because earthly treasures don't last. Moth and rust can destroy them. Thieves can come and steal them. These things that we might be tempted to put our hope in, they're actually not secure at all. Now, Jesus probably had in mind possibly things like clothes, maybe tools, that kind of thing. That's why moths and rust would be such a problem. But the principle applies to any worldly treasure. Perhaps somebody has a pile of money saved up. Well, it could be stolen. Or perhaps you get tricked by a con man. Or maybe hyperinflation makes it worthless. Maybe another person has invested in the stock market. But what happens when the company fails or the stock market crashes? Someone else might have property. But remember, property can go down in value as well as up. Or it could be destroyed by a fire or a flood or an earthquake. Maybe you've got a good job or a business. What happens if you have an accident and you can't do your job anymore? Or what if a technology is developed that makes you and your skills redundant? I could go on, but you get the idea. When we invest in worldly treasure, we invest in things that are inherently unsafe. And in fact, that are destined to be destroyed. Because even if those things do happen to last our lifetime, they don't last forever. And as the old saying goes, you can't take it with you. When we die, all those things get left behind. We'll think more about that in a minute. But first of all, let us look at where Jesus says we should store up our treasure. Verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus says there's a place where you can store your treasure that is completely safe. A place where there will never be any danger of it being destroyed or taken away. A place where it will last forever. That place is heaven. But of course, the obvious question, what does it mean and what does it look like to store treasure in heaven? It's not as though we can walk into heaven and put all our things there for safekeeping. No, that's not what Jesus means. Rather, he's making the point that any money or time or energy that is put into God's kingdom is never wasted. Because any investment in God's kingdom, any investment in heaven, is completely safe. Nothing can happen to it. It will last forever. And therefore, if you give money to church, or you use it to help people in need, that is a good investment. Yeah, it might not feel like it at the time. You may feel worse off. You may feel like you'll never see that money again. You could have used it on other things. But the reality of what Jesus says is you've used it in the best possible way. You've invested it in a place that will last forever. In the same way, if you turn down a job or a promotion because you know it's going to demand so much time, you won't be able to serve at church anymore. Well, that can be a wise decision. If the promotion is only going to lead to more money to spend on more things while taking you away from serving, well, then maybe it's not the best course of action. I don't think Jesus only has money in mind here. I think storing up treasure in heaven is about being obedient to him and his commands. It's about following his ways. It's about serving him and his kingdom. It is becoming more Christ-like in our character. And it's about sharing the gospel with others. These things that while they might only be temporary on earth, they actually last into eternity. We all know the importance of investing in a pension. You don't want to neglect it and then end up in retirement with no money to live on. So how much more important is it to invest in heaven? If you're lucky, retirement might be 30-odd years. But heaven is forever. So invest in the place that matters most. Well, in verse 21, Jesus goes on to make an important point and perhaps a surprising point. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Jesus says that wherever we put our treasure, whatever things we put value on, that is where we will find our hearts. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If my treasure is a nice house, then that is what my heart will yearn after. And if my heart desires it, then my actions will follow suit. I'll save up all my money for a deposit. I'll get the best, biggest mortgage I can in order to get the best house possible. And then when I'm in and I'm settled, I'll be thinking about the next improvements or looking for the next house, the better and the bigger house. Or if my treasure is my job, well, I'll put all the hours in. I'll make the big sacrifices. I'll do whatever it takes to get that promotion. But if my treasure is Jesus, then that is where my heart will be. That is what will dictate my actions and my deeds. I will want to please him. I want to do good for his kingdom. Jesus makes it crystal clear if you look down to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. When the first lockdown started, 2 years ago now, in March 2020, everyone was stuck at home, the National Theatre streamed some of their plays. And one of them was One Man, Two Governors. It's a comedy about a man called Francis and Henshaw. And as the title suggests, he takes on two jobs. And he tries to serve two bosses simultaneously. As you can imagine, it doesn't especially go well. And there is one particularly funny scene where he's trying to serve both his governors in a restaurant at the same time. It leads to all kinds of juggling of tasks, mistakes being made, and all kinds of trouble ensues. He finds out the hard way that trying to serve two masters is not easy. And if you try to do it, you won't be able to do it properly. You're bound to fail. But while the consequences in the play are funny, Jesus is a bit more serious. He says that you will hate one master and love the other, devoted to one, despising the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why what Jesus says about the location of your treasure is so important. You can't say, I love Jesus and I trust him for my salvation, but I want to keep all my money to myself, thank you very much. That is not trusting in Jesus. That is not serving Jesus. That is trusting and serving money. We have to choose. And if you have your eternal future in mind, then you will choose to serve God over money every time. Let me just be clear about a few things, though. I'm not saying it's wrong to work hard at your job or to own a house. The Bible is clear that it's good to provide for ourselves and for our families. Neither is it wrong to have savings or investments. Again, the Bible's clear. Thinking about and preparing for the future is a wise thing to do. So although I've used those as examples, please don't hear me saying that you should never do those things or have those things. That is not the point Jesus is making. No, the problem with those things is when they become our treasure, when we covet them, when our hearts become set on them. It's when we decide that those things are the things that we need. It's when we want more and more and more. It is hoarding our possessions because those are the most important thing to us. The problem isn't so much what we have, but the value that we place on them and the place they have in our hearts. And we see an example of the point Jesus is making in one of the parables that he told. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 12, then please do. If you want to listen, that's okay as well. So Luke chapter 12. So Luke 12, verses 13 to 20. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is what it looks like to store up treasure on earth. This man's land has produced a good crop, And notice it says that he is already a rich man. So what is he to do with it? Well, he could have said, let me give back to God what he has so generously given to me. Or he could have said, let me give the extra to those who are hungry. Or he could have even said, let me build bigger barns so that I can take care of those in need for years to come. Those would have been good and Christ-honoring ways to store up treasure in heaven. But it's not what he does. He says, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. He thinks only of himself. His treasure is his comforts, his pleasure, his wealth. But Jesus ends the parable by showing the folly of this man. What good is it having all this stuff if you're dead? He has invested in the wrong place. When he stands before God, he will have to give an account of his life. And he's going to be found wanting. We must not make the same mistake as this man. We must not be as foolish as he was. After the parable, Jesus said this. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. So let us not store up treasure for ourselves here on earth. Let us be rich to God and store up treasure in heaven. This is the foundation of our giving. But what does it look like to give? Well, that's what I want to pick up in our second point. So our first point was invest in heaven. Our second point is giving on earth. Giving on earth. When we think about giving to God or giving to church, it's important to remember that there are different ways to give. It's not all about money. So we can give our time. That might be delivering cards around the parish. It could be by coming to help clear the building during a spring clean. Or we could give our talents. Some people might serve on the music group. Another person might preach. Somebody else might help with the finances. Or we could give our possessions. Maybe you have a van that you lend to church occasionally. Or maybe you've got a spare room that you let somebody stay in. You see, when it comes to these things, we're all different. Some people have lots of time, others don't. Some people might have a particular talent, somebody else won't. We're all different. We can't all give in the same way. And that's a good thing. Because as members of one body, we need different parts of the body to do different jobs and different roles. However, we are all called to give our money. And so whether we have lots or whether we have little, I do just want to concentrate on our financial giving as we finish. You're convinced that storing up treasure in heaven is a good thing, then you are convinced that giving to the ministry of the church is also a good thing. But you might question, well, how much do I give? And to that question, there is no exact answer. But let me give you some guidance. If we look back to the Old Testament, then we see there that God's people were required to tithe. That meant they gave 10% of their crops that they grew and 10% of the livestock they raised. And in the New Testament, that law no longer applies. And in fact, Jesus was pretty negative about the Pharisees who tithe to the smallest detail, but who missed the more important aspects of the law. So while tithing, that is giving 10% of what we earn, may be a helpful starting point. It is not the requirement. We need to have more thought and more discernment than just a straight 10%. A good place to look is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, because he had some really helpful things to say to that church. So Paul wrote this in chapter 8. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." This church in Macedonia, they didn't just think, "We'll give 10% and that's it, done." They wanted to give as much as they possibly could. They stretched themselves and they actually gave more than was strictly possible. And they wanted to do this. They asked to do it. They understood what it meant to store treasure in heaven. A few verses later, Paul writes this: "Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." Paul says that we should give out of what we have, not out of what we don't have. Of course, somebody who has more can give more. And the person who has less doesn't have to worry that their giving is not as much. At the same time, the person who has more should look at the person who says less and says, well, they're not giving very much, so neither will I. No, we need to look at what we have and give from that. And if we're going to be like the Macedonian church, well, then we're going to want to be as generous as possible. But Paul continues into chapter 9. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, but under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." This is how we give. We look at what we have. We think about our needs. We think about where we want our treasure to be. And as we do all those things, we pray for God's help and his guidance. And when we've decided how much to give, we give it cheerfully. We're not giving because we have to. We're not giving because we're being forced to, but because we want to give. Now, some of us will look at what we have, and we'll realize that actually we can give more. God has blessed us with an abundance. We can take care of our needs, and we have things to spare. And we want to be as generous as we can in our giving. This might mean making sacrifices, not as much savings in the bank, not as many holidays, not as nice a car. But we'll do it, because our treasure is in heaven, not on earth. Others will look at what they have and they'll think they'll struggle to give any more. They're only just about getting by. Although they would love to give more, they just can't. And that's okay. No one has to feel guilty about that. You can't give what you don't have. And it's perfectly possible for the person who gives £10 a week to be more generous than the person who gives 100. God knows exactly what we can afford to give. And he knows when we're giving sacrificially. So some will realize we can give more. Some will already be giving as much as we can. And sometimes someone might have to give less. Occasionally something might happen That means a person hasn't got as much money to give. For example, if you lose your job, it's probably going to be hard to keep up the same level of giving. In those kinds of situations, it's fine to give less. So in all these things, we just have to be honest with ourselves and honest about the situations we're in. We have to think about what our priorities are and where our treasure is. And our situations are constantly changing. So we always have to be re-asking ourselves these questions. I want to finish with one last thing. Because I know it's easy to question what difference a person giving can make. What difference does it make whether I give or not? Well, on the one hand, I hope you can see that this is not a relevant question. When we're given to God, when we're storing treasure in heaven, therefore, as long as we're given generously, the actual amount doesn't matter. However, on the other hand, when we're giving to the local church, we're assuring it has the money to function and to engage in ministry and mission. When we think of it like that, it all adds up. And to give you an example, just using average amounts, if 40 people gave £200 a month, that's average, some people more, some people less. That would be £96,000 a year in giving. 40 people, £200 a month, £96,000 a year. Well, that would almost certainly cover all of our costs here at St. Peter's. It would cover the cost of a vicar, an administrator, all the building costs. What if 40 people were to give, on average, £250 a month? Well, that would be £120,000 a year. That would be the cost of a youth and children's worker. What better investment is there than in gospel workers who will help to get the good news of Jesus out to our community? That is what it means to store treasure in heaven. How amazing to see people in heaven because they became Christians at St. Peter's. That, my friends, is infinitely better than a bunch of stuff that we can't take with us. Be rich to God and store your treasure in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are the God of all, that all things are in your hands. We thank you that what we have comes first from you. And so, Father, as we think this morning about the things that we have, our money and our possessions, Father, we want to be generous givers. We want to be people who store our treasure in heaven, not on earth. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to do that. Father, we pray that the good intentions that we might go away with this morning, we would see through. So Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom as we look at our situations and we think about our giving. Father, help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to be as generous as we can. Amen.